You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Race Wars. I know you're like, how could a white man be allowed to do that?
He can say the word only in the confines of this podcast.
It's what we do, baby!
Yeah!
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
I have the power!
With Kurt Metzger and
it's running, we up. Race Wars, we back in the building. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a long week. Well, Kurt, first of all, Will, what have you been up to?
We just got done with the writing part of Amy Schumer program.
Never heard of it. Is that a TV show?
It's called Inside Amy Schumer, and it's not a porno like it sounds.
I've been there, but I've never seen it.
Oh! So I don't have to go to the office no more, which is a fucking...
Excellent!
Because, by the way, the job couldn't be more cushy as far as hours and pay. Like,
right.
I mean, it's like some days I didn't have to go in. Usually we go in at like noon.
It's right up your alley.
I would still complain. Like, fuck, you can't stand going into work. Like, I'm the worst. Like,
it's your perfect work environment. They don't allow sunshine to come into the office. You vampire.
So we just finished, and then so we're going to start shooting the sketchies.
Okay.
And, I don't know. I think it's a good season. I think this season will be good.
You think better than last season?
Yeah, I think it keeps getting better.
There you go.
Getting harder for me to keep up with everyone. The limits of my talent are...
What about, who came on a show, what's his name, Negron?
Oh, Taylor Negron.
Yeah, he's still over there, right? Was he over there?
What, on Amy Schumer's show?
Yeah, wasn't he
No, he never had anything to do with it on any level.
Then where did you run into him?
Through Jenna Friedman, was hanging out with him at the Cellar, and I started talking. We got to get him back. I like that guy.
He's great.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he worked on Amy's show. I was like, how the hell would you run into Taylor Negron unless you're
hanging out with Jenna at the Cellar?
In a miniplex in the 80s. Fuck.
But I just know him from all those 80s movies, you know?
All right.
You know Taylor Negron, right?
Esther's in the house. Esther Koo's here. Esther, speak up.
Hi. Yeah.
So right now it's
Girl Code.
Yeah, it's me, Sherrod, Esther, Koo, and Karen. And hello. Then Caitlin's coming in late. And then Judah.
Judah Freelander's going to come in.
Judah
too.
Of 30 Rock should be here soon.
Esther, what you been up to?
I've just been shopping.
Okay.
But we're supposed to keep it about race, so.
No, we're not.
I was shopping for my black friends.
Wait.
No.
They're not your friends.
Hold on. Well, let's clear this up. Were you buying black people, or were you getting gifts for black people?
Right. What are we talking, 12 years?
No.
12-year shopping spree?
Esther, are you... Now, what are you on? Are you on guy code or girl code or what is...
I'm on girl code. Girl code is the one with the regular girls.
What do you mean regular girls?
Because guy code has, like, models and shit.
Okay.
I'm more like a, you can relate to her type of, you know...
That was a shot at that girl with the blonde hair and the big titties, who titties always have.
Yeah,
who's
exactly.
Who's that? Jessie May?
No, not Jessie May.
April Rose.
April. She know exactly who she hate on that show. We didn't need pictures, Esther, but if you got them, we'll take.
Yeah, I'm like, do you watch any of those shows?
I watch them. You know, when I watch them. My boy PJ's one of the producers over there. He just do Best Week Ever. But you hate that girl, huh, April Rose?
No, I don't. Shut up.
No, you hate her.
You're starting beef.
That's why she's on Geico, because she's like eye candy.
No,
I
mean,
can't really say funny stuff.
No, I mean, Geico, they hire, like, model girls, you know, like, Maxim models who have been on, like, 100 sexiest
women.
That's
empty. There's vacant vessels, these girls.
Right. And we're the comedians on...
Full of life.
On Girl Code.
With opinions.
Hey, Girl Code used to mean something. I mean, I don't understand none of that shit. Did I tell you when I went to the stand and there's all these dudes with fucking Andrew Schultz hats?
Fucking, shut up. He
puffy
sells
sneakers.
He sells hats?
No, just like those hats.
That's so style. That's
just
style
where you wear a hat like on the very tip of your head.
I was imagining like his fans wearing hats with his like face on it.
Well, I like Andrew, but I like
trash. Oh, he's a friend of the show. We got to trash.
But like, you know, those fucking stupid puffy tongue sneakers with a
yes.
nice skinny bit.
And I walk in. Andrew's sneakers matter so much to him.
It
matters so. Every time I see him, I just want to stomp right on his sneakers.
Yeah, because
his whole life is dependent on those fucking things.
And people think it's a black thing. You're not taking into account fucking Andrew Schultz's goddamn sneaker bullshit. But anyway, I walk in, I see a million.
And can't play one sport. That's the thing.
I see a million dudes.
Play a sport.
I walk in, there's like a million dudes just dressed like Andrew Schultz. And I go, what the fuck is this, a Guy Code reunion? And it was.
And it was.
It was. It was a party for fucking Guy Code. I can't think of any point where I enjoyed MTV like culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were watching the Pauly Shore Stands Alone on Showtime. Do you know
the new is? The new special?
Yeah, he really is just the worst human being. But it was all about him, you know, and his road tours he does now.
Yeah.
And just like the shittiest parts of it. Like,
oh, I he's heard a he, nice goes, guy he goes too. To like Kansas in the middle of nowhere.
That's the place yeah. where they still
that's
give
where
a
they
shit.
Still think that he's something, yeah. Right.
I will say The Son-in-Law. I did like that movie, The Son-in-Law. That has some funny parts in it. It really does. But he fucking
Son-in-Law was a great movie. But, I love Son, but I don't want to.
Well,
I
no
insisted.
Man.
Yeah, I like those movies, but I insisted on watching this because I'm just like fascinated with his like rich kid turning old thing. Yeah.
Well, the problem with the Pauly Shore documentary was that it was about Pauly Shore. It was just so much about Pauly Shore, and then it was just about him. Like every sentence starts with I, and then just at the end, he's like, "And I'm sorry, my mom's dying." So
yeah,
just this one
and
Mitzi, thing
his mother
not...
did everything for him.
Well, so
kids ain't shit. Well, that's so, what shows you. Children ain't. His mother did everything for him. Now he'd just be like, ah, my mother shits herself now. She's wearing a pamper. Well, like he's finally getting revenge on his mother.
He seemed to be person. Into it. I think it's just like a rich kid. Like, that's how rich kids are when they get old. They still
you better
wear
get a
same.
Nurse. You he's better still get a wear, nurse.
You know, he's like Billy Madison. Like, remember Billy Madison? Like, they're still wearing the same, like, long sleeve shirt. It's not a short sleeve shirt. With a fucking like little scarf, but the thing is
a
funny
bandana
is,
with the point, it's rolled and the point still yes. sticks out.
But he's talking about like he's showing his eyes, like this is where the weasel was invented, and like so Karen doesn't know any of this shit because first of all she didn't watch stuff anyway growing up,
right?
But especially because it's like you're old now to really remember that
he was taking you where the weasel was invented.
You know his stupid the weasel, you know that shit.
Yes.
So I showed her. I went online and found old episodes of Totally Pauly to show her.
Oh, I've never seen Totally
so
Pauly either.
Oh my god!
And it's like, but it's just
a sad
more,
time in America.
There's
history.
A comedy club owner who like swears like he's like the most laid comedian ever. Like he just hates him.
He just hates Pauly.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Which where what? He hates Pauly for being the most laid.
Well,
comedian.
because he's seen him get so much like pussy, you what, know, like he'll like yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of hating Pauly though, shouldn't he hate women?
Yeah, it's
that's where the problem is.
Because they keep fucking. I mean,
because
I can't think
they
of
just
anything.
Fall for that
it's
voice.
Not all it's like a certain kind of woman. There's like a lot of low self
esteem
people.
A slut,
hang
runaways.
Out. And open micers and strippers is who loves him.
Groupies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What up, Judah?
Judah's in the house. Judah's here.
What's
Judy.
Up, guys? How's it going?
We didn't wait for you.
That's hey, cool.
Judah, do you know Pauly Shore at all?
What's that?
Do you know Pauly Shore?
Yeah, I know Pauly.
I was watching his documentary the other
We're
night.
We're just talking shit about him.
Oh, okay. I had food poisoning, too.
It's not the first time. I got no beef with Pauly, but
he's a good
I'm sure
guy.
He's been shown before.
I don't know him. I don't have any beef with him. I was just laughing watching the documentary.
He was just at the cellar
hey,
like a month
buddy.
Ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just in town.
Yeah, like, it's not, I don't look down on him for getting laid a lot. Like, I look down on
I mean, I think it's so
him.
Cool to, like, grow up at the Comedy Store, though. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Can you imagine being a yes. child and, like, watching Robin Williams on stage?
And then never shutting up about it? bringing
no,
up every 5 minutes.
It's gotta be annoying.
No, yeah, he used to be babysit by all the comics there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure
but
was...
then he probably wanted to like beat up every comedian who like slept with his mom, you know? Like,
do you think he
you
did?
Oh,
up,
I don't know.
I don't
you
think
look,
so.
You look up to these people, but then they fuck your mom.
Well,
you know,
somebody's fucking your mom.
I mean,
why like, not Richard
I think
Pryor?
Right now we're writing his new documentary. I mean, I think this should be the subject of his next documentary. That's crazy shit. I never thought of that.
The
good
old...
point, Esther. Good job.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. you know when your parents are divorced and then you're like one parent like starts dating somebody
no?
else.
Why?
Yes.
Like it's got to be like when you're a guy, you feel a little powerless because you're a boy.
Well,
you're
well,
like
my parents, my dad split up like after I moved out, and then. My mom started dating.
Was it your fault, Kurt? Were you
of
to
course.
Blame for it?
Look at him.
I mean, that's, I mean, I just
Look
heard this
him.
Now, but that's the vibe I'm getting, that it was your fault.
I mean, I'm
Those
not
poor
without,
parents.
I'm not without blame.
Dude, your fucking parents, I feel so bad for them, Kurt. I'm
Why?
With you, Sherrod.
Those poor parents have to go through this?
Yeah.
You don't know my parents.
I met so your mother. I know your mother.
You don't know the real
I
her.
Was the guy who was dating her.
But the best, so my mom started dating my boyhood dentist.
Oh God, that's horrible.
Oh, that is awful.
Wait, who'd she date? A dentist?
Yeah.
His
and then,
dentist.
And
who
then
he grew
I went
up with.
So that's what, you see him what, once a year?
Well, if I would that. See him, but then, yeah. you know, he'd be like, you know, just relax and open your mouth. And like, is that what you said to my mother, you son of a bitch?
This will hurt just a little bit. This is going to hurt just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Also,
you know,
don't you still have to pay for dentists?
You know how
yeah.
many
well,
how many women hit on
fucking.
Dentists? Oh. I used to work in a dentist office, yeah. and, like, so That's many right. moms would come in and, like, open up their shirt because they don't want to pay their dental bills. That's how it all starts.
Really?
And they show a little cleavage, and they flirt with a dentist.
Does that work?
Wait,
that can't work.
You can get
it
works.
Does work. If a man's in charge anywhere, that works.
Yeah.
I missed it. I don't know.
Well, Judah,
happened.
You're a qualified dentist, right? Among your many qualifications?
No. I'm not a nerd, dude. Just an athlete.
Really good at athletics.
You know, I'm looking on the wall here. There's a lot of comedy albums.
Yeah.
And quite a few Bill Cosby ones.
Yeah, some more rapey. Yes. Well, some more rapey than others.
I mean, he was good at the comedy part.
We're going to make this into a gun range, and the Bill Cosby ones are the targets.
Come on, yo.
I support.
He has a right to due process.
That's true. I agree. No, but I'm just saying it's
interesting. Like Rodney Dangerfield wasn't raping bitches?
No. Not if the victims are white
women,
he
doesn't. He just never got caught, right?
Well.
You think Rodney Dangerfield got
caught? He just married him after
No, but Rodney apparently was like drinking and drugging up until, you know, well into his 70s, which is kind of phenomenal.
Awesome.
I mean, he should get some kind of an award for that.
I agree.
Just for the human body to do that for so long, it's not normal. You know, it's amazing.
Well, as the world champion, Woody, how much do you think you could take of those kind of drugs?
I'm a role model to children.
Kurt,
you fucking know better.
You know, I don't. And last night here at the
You were
New
definitely
York,
the reason for your parents' divorce, dude. With statements like that, too. Did you talk to your parents that way?
No. I was a goddamn, you know, doomsday cult. I didn't talk to my parents that way. My parents are all about, like, punishments for no reason.
Were you ever in a cult?
Were they really?
Well, Jehovah's. I don't know if you call them a cult.
They culty.
I mean, you were in it.
That's a culty.
I didn't know you were a Jehovah's Witness.
Anybody, really?
Yeah, I bring it up nonstop. I don't know
if
how
any,
you
guys. If anybody could call it a cult, it would be you because you were in it, yeah?
I just like to say it's a doomsday cult, but I just think it's a fringe religion.
Little baby Curdy didn't have no Christmas.
Kurt, it sounds like you're not fully out. It sounds like you're there's still a little bit of it hanging over you there.
Absolutely there is. I would say absolutely.
Do you ever find yourself...
Who fully gets that? Because weren't you into some Christian bullshit?
Yeah, I grew up. My parents are missionaries from Korea, and they like
a missionary.
But
you're telling me
that's
someone who's like that's like fundamentalist, right? That's like
they
word
like,
for
past
word,
the moon?
Right?
Is that past the moon?
No, it's a different like it was like the Pastor Moon knockoff.
But a lot of Koreans are into
the discount.
Yeah,
Pastor Moon.
It was like we couldn't afford like a real church. They like would buy a house and then knock down the walls and make it a church.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't they keep the walls? That's why.
Could you only wear skirts? You only could wear like dresses.
I had to wear skirts like down to my ankles.
Yes.
Did you grow up in Korea at all? Or were
I was born in Chicago.
But a lot of Koreans are into evangelical Christianity.
A lot of South Koreans. North Koreans are into the Kim Jong-unage.
But there,
that's
just
to be honest with you.
What's the
Shut up.
Esther? Do you know what in Korea what the like the traditional non-Christian religion is? What's it called? Is it Taoism or what is it?
I don't know. Buddhism.
Well, that
Korean
they have
people
a,
that
they,
I talk to say that they don't like as a society they're not super religious. They just have these like, and I don't know. It's just people I talk to. They just have like little cult, like they do Christmas because it's pretty, and then you have the Korean Christians who are like really, really Christian. But everybody else, I think, is kind of secular.
Yeah, but Korean culture has a history of
what does secular mean again? I'm sorry.
It's a secular.
Let's not use these big words here, okay? And, you know, you talk about all kinds of bigotry. There's the vocabulary high people and the low vocabulary people. Let's fucking
I'm
cut
glad
that
you
shit
said
out.
It.
It's a sexual term. It's a sexual term, Judah. But they have like a kind of patriarchy dad worship kind of thing.
They do.
And,
yeah.
So Christianity really took. And that's why Kim Jong-ilism really took. It's like even in South Korea, they have these guys that are like looked up to like they're Kim Jong-il because they're like
oh my God. The leader of our church was like ridiculously like revered. Like women would get nervous talking to him.
Right.
He would like tell women to like have abortions. Like
so I could be a pastor of one of these churches, she said.
You could.
I tell girls to have abortions every week. They're trying to share with the group.
Judah,
I've never had an abortion. I've never had an abortion.
Several.
I know. There's been rumors. No. Yeah.
But you know, you
why
know
is it like that? Why do they revere these guys like that?
Because that's how you create a cult. You
and
like,
what about women? Do any women in those positions like that over there?
No, the women are like supposed to like have kids and cook and clean. And I was like,
and
fuck that shit. I don't want
to
do that.
You know, Karen,
yes. Yeah, that's implied.
Karen does. She does English second language, and it's a lot of Korean students.
Shut up.
And there are a lot
Korean
of
Christians are specific. Breed, you know, like they're different from the other.
You're talking about Esther. You realize that too. I mean, you're looking right at her. You're
talking about people like your parents. It's and they're not bad. They're really sweet, but they're like very, very.
They're just
their whole life is
they're brainwashed.
That. Well, they come here to learn English and then they spend no time speaking English whatsoever because they just find a Korean church here.
Well, my parents knew English because like our church was like they wanted to recruit like white people. Actually, you would have been a perfect candidate because they would like look for like blonde hair, blue eyed girls.
Yeah,
and
sound
like,
a lot like me.
Bring them,
I'm a huge
and then
Jew.
They would like, well, but they don't know
you
that.
You actually kind of look like you might be in a cult.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know that I'm not.
No, I'm not saying that.
But the thing, my favorite thing is that they revere Karen's small head.
Yeah.
Because small heads are very proud.
I
compliment
on my tiny head. And every time they say that,
you have such a tiny head.
Because I think of Marissa, Sherrod's girl, and I'm like, you know, if you think my head is tiny, I have a beautiful friend with a very tiny head.
Is her head smaller?
It's quite small. It's beautifully small, yes.
It is a good head. You got a good head.
I'm used to getting complimented for my small head, but you have an even smaller head than me.
Well, you do have a small Korean.
You know what? I'm going to get out a piece of string and I'm going to measure everyone's head. Yeah.
Do it.
We did that once at the Comedy Cellar like 15 years ago. We had a nose measuring contest. At the table was me, Ben Bailey, Dimitri Martin.
Oh, there's some noses.
Natterman. Gary Greenberg.
Oh, my God. Some Jesus. Of the nosiest people in the business.
And I think Ben Bailey won.
Yeah, he probably
and he was. And he was in shock. He was like, I beat Greenberg.
Like, how did that happen?
Greenberg had 15 minutes in his stand-up act using his nose as a prop with posters about how giant his fucking nose is. And Bailey, I think, beat him. He's in shock. He's like, I beat Greenberg.
That is hilarious.
All right. Well, look, if we're measuring heads, get two strings for me.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
I feel like Natterman should have won. No?
For his nose,
I think Natterman came in third.
Yeah.
I mean, he was highly seated.
I don't really know Greenberg, but just based on the fact his name's Greenberg, you know.
I think Natterman's more nostril width. Than total nose.
Now, no one can touch me in nostrils. Is what I
said. Judah, you need to.
You're the Pat Ewing of this place when it comes to nostrils.
This way around.
All right, we're measuring. Judah's measuring Esther's head right now using an iPhone.
What we got?
It's right there.
iPhone headphones.
That's a small ass head.
That's a small.
All right, now
cranium.
Let's see how Karen's.
Well, you know,
what?
A lot of Koreans have big heads. So when I went to my cousin's wedding, like all these girls were like, "Oh my God, you have such a small head." I'm so jealous. Like, they use so much more lotion and like beauty products. Right? Their face
they
extends all the way out to
holy
here.
Shit.
Well,
they,
in pictures,
that's why in pictures
you think
they all
spread it out.
Their heads use up a lot more resources. Is what you're saying.
I save money on face lotion for having a smaller head. Imagine. How much money we save.
That is true.
You know, like if you have a small penis, imagine how much money you save. You don't need as much lotion to jerk off, do you?
I'm a dry jerk.
Yeah,
I'm looking at Sherrod.
I do a Kansas City dry rub myself.
I'm a dry rub, yeah.
You do?
I just want to say.
I put a little Caesar salt on my hand, and I go in.
We couldn't afford that amount of lotion that I would.
Yeah, yeah. Not all kids grew up with the luxury of having lotion. You know?
Right.
What about spit or shampoo?
Nah, natural.
Just dry?
And, yeah, skin and when you're on the road, you know, you don't always have the luxury of using a lube.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No, you don't always have the luxury. So
are those little hotel lotion bathroom things?
Nah. You just chap it up and rub it.
Nah. Are you serious?
I just get in there.
Jesus Christ,
I just
you guys.
Get in there and leave my prints on it.
You know, I'm bad at measuring heads. I measured both your heads twice, and I'm still not sure
who's.
Well,
you're using your highly
one's
scientific,
is bigger than the other, and I don't know who.
Earbuds.
Both of our heads together are probably as big as your head.
Oh.
I have a large head.
You have,
Judah has a. I frequently add my head to other people's.
I mean,
head
one of the reasons I wear these hats is because they can fit my head. I'm always on the last.
Oh my God!
On the last one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Judah, do you remember? This is the funniest heckle I've ever heard a guy do to you. But it was at the Cellar, some obnoxious British guy, and because you know the part where you're like, does anyone have any questions? And the guy goes, does your hair come with your hat? Remember that shit?
I don't remember that specific one. That's probably happened before, though, yeah.
I think British people are obnoxious as shit when they come. I mean, those American tourists are fucking obnoxious, but, dude, they got nothing on these London,
on these Brits,
like, shaved head guys that show up.
Oh, yeah.
They're the fucking worst.
Yeah, the Vinny Jones.
In fact, when I went to UK, I would say anything you don't like about America, we specifically got from England. Like, it's trickled
what
down
do you mean?
From it. Just whatever obnoxious,
like
thinking you're looking down
getting
your
drunk and having a fight.
Yeah, like,
at a pub.
England invented that shit.
Yeah.
That
I like England crowds. I think they're great.
Oh, the crowds are great.
I had a great time there, but I wasn't doing regular England crowds. I was doing all Jamaican crowds. And,
you're welcome.
And they were fucking, they were dumb. They were dumb crowds.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Racist.
Just because they didn't know how it was growing up in your little room, jerking off into the window.
Yeah, like a good Jehovah's Witness.
Sans lotion.
Objectively, they were fucking dumb. And I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
It was, they wanted to hear like they're really into like Def Jam, right? But they don't want to hear you do actual comedy. They want to hear you hit beats that they heard in Def Jam.
Oh, so, that's what they was looking for. That don't make them dumb. That just make
them. That's what you like. You dumb. If you just want to hear, honestly, God, if you don't want to hear actual fucking jokes, you just want to hear a guy sound like some shit you heard from America.
Because they want to feel like they part or something, Kurt. They see dumb. Shit on TV and they want to emulate that.
British Jamaicans that. Are dumb.
You know what I'm talking about.
The crowds I had
Kurt's
were dumb.
Dumb.
Yeah. And they were overly wrapped up in being
Jamaicans
for
are
sure.
Really
and
they were probably are teenagers. Usually a good audience though because yeah, they laugh audience. A lot. They laugh hard.
They're interested in what you got to say.
You know,
first Kurt's of all, wrong.
They want to hear.
Kurt is so wrong.
Listen, were you there? I was there.
Now,
I
Kurt, maybe that people. Was just a bad crowd. But
yeah.
No.
You
no.
can't judge all of it by that.
I will, and I do.
But it was on the same tour, right?
It was on the same. Birmingham,
right. So they're all going to be the same, probably. So you were just on a bad tour.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. And the reason it was bad was because it was mostly fucking Jamaicans. I'm
that's not that's the why. Reason.
It absolutely is.
No, that's not the reason.
Of course. First of all, just...
So you said if it was Jamaicans in Jamaica or Jamaicans here in Queens, they still wouldn't get your jokes because they're Jamaican.
No, in England, where I was...
Ian Edwards has never laughed at Kurt Metzger. I mean, he's actually called me up and said, what's the deal? I know people like him,
first of all,
but what's the deal?
Not only has he laughed, he's got nothing
I don't think
it.
He has, dude. I think he was faking it.
I'm talking about... He was trying to be nice. Listen, if you get a whole crowd, okay, that's a Jamaican crowd. And they're like, we want to hear some Jamaican themed comedy.
But every comedy dumb hacky audience is like that. You know, you could be in the Midwest and they'll be like, they just want to hear like Leno type monologues.
Fair
you know,
enough.
It's like
right. fair enough.
So right, so you were on a shitty tour.
Dumb. But they are dumb.
But that was that the people you perform for. That
just
doesn't mean it's everybody.
Jamaicans are dumb. The so people, let them say it.
First of all, I didn't say Jamaicans are dumb. I said these crowds I did were dumb, and they were fucking dumb. And also, they wanted to just hear Jamaican shit, which I'm not going to do. I'm not going to come and talk about fucking rice and peas and bomba clots. That shit's fucking dumb.
First
and
of
I
all,
had a whole, my whole fucking four, first 4 years of comedy was doing every kind of black crowd. I can tell you who loves dumb shit. And especially, like, my kryptonite of black rooms, by the way, is... predominantly Caribbean or like island people rooms because they're very
because
Christian.
they want to hear something that sounds like them for one thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
If Will Silvins went up, he'd destroy that room. I might have a tougher time in that room.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
it just wasn't a crowd for you.
Well, fine, but I judge you for that.
Like,
I've
yeah,
never,
but it sounds like those shows dumb. Are so specific they right. actually want to hear a specific type of comedy.
Exactly.
It's like you're
that's
going.
Right.
It's like you're going. Let's say you paid money to go hear Mozart. And instead, they're playing country music. You'd be like, what the fuck? You know, it's like that.
Okay, well, just...
First of all, Kurt, you're getting too worked up over this.
I'm not,
I mean, this was years ago. This was your first 4 years doing comedy.
First of all,
he
not,
hates Jamaicans. That's all it comes down to.
I'm not at all getting worked up about it. You guys are. I just made a simple comment. The crowds were dumb, which they were. And they like dumb shit. And if you do want to just hear... See, this is the thing. I've always despised theme shows. Like, it's Latin night or it's fucking... Like, if I was Latin, I would never in a million years want to go to a show and just see fucking all Latin people.
Unless you live around white people all day and you want to get the fuck from around them, you would do that.
I don't enjoy... Listen,
fucking white privilege, Kurt.
You would do that.
I don't enjoy going to an all-white fucking alternative room either, which I'm...
I don't
because
either.
You never have the... You never surrounded by everybody but white people. So every room is a white room, nigga.
Wait, I'm not? What are you talking about?
I'm saying where do you go in this country where it's all not you and you got to go to a room?
New York probably has the most mixed crowds. You know?
I like
and then certain shows like... You know, certain shows at certain clubs, look, like the Strip on the weekend late shows,
right.
they
are
do
more
Latino
black
rooms
and,
because
but those are more black and Latino.
When you go to a mainstream room, you might see one Latino.
Yeah, right. You'll see
might.
Less than the population of
so that's
where
they do
the
their
country.
Shows.
Right.
Where, New York?
Philly?
Yeah, well, Manhattan, dude.
Baltimore.
Manhattan pretty much at this point.
Minneapolis.
Is all white with like a little Asian. That's Manhattan. You know what I mean? Manhattan's such a weird
fucking place. With like literally two Asians.
Not where I live. You talking about the white part of Manhattan?
That's most of Manhattan. Yeah, I know, but most of Manhattan is white, dude.
The money parts, for sure.
Yeah, that's most of Manhattan.
But I also don't enjoy, like when I went to fucking Madison, Wisconsin, that's literally the problem. It was too fucking white. I don't enjoy any kind of like one kind of.
I like a heterogeneous crowd.
And that's it. So that's
Me
what
too.
I'm getting at. And I don't. And I'm not like, oh, that's great. You have an all because if I would never want to see that. I would never want to go. I'd like to see all white people.
But the thing, like the Latino show at the comic strip, is never all Latinos.
Right.
It's
right,
white
right.
people. It might be more Latinos. Than
right.
Usual,
right. Right.
I'm just
right.
telling
but it's
you.
Never all Latinos.
In general, in general, the idea of going to a theme thing where I'm like, I'm just gonna hear people talking about Latin shit because I'm Latin. that's like nothing I could even get my head around.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
But I understand you.
If you live in some, you live in Phoenix and you Latin and you never get to see your shit. If you live in Chicago and you never get to see your kind of flavor, yeah, you'll go to those shows.
And I think before,
and you run into girls there, it's like, oh, it's more fucking Puerto Rican girls here than I thought.
Well, I wouldn't be going to a show because I'm trying to pick up girls, I guess. But that's like because I'm into comedy. I don't know. But if I was going to go,
still do both.
I don't know who these people are who go to comedy clubs. Like before, I did comedy. I never like went to a comedy.
Well, that's a good point,
right?
That's
like, who are these people? Like for entertainment, like I will like watch a movie, go to the movie, and I'm always fascinated that I'm like, I wonder if people would be there. And there's like,
way to shit on
there.
Your entire audience.
The whole point
who
is,
are you, people?
You didn't single anyone out. It was good. It was very democratic.
It's true though. A lot of people seem like they just fell into the club and happened to be there for the show.
Dude, the shit that I was watching at this UK tour, the people that were destroying.
When were you there?
This was I was still with Steinberg's. This was a Steinberg.
You're on the
thing.
Jamaican.
By the way,
England
but the guys,
tour.
It was called the Real Deal Comedy Jam. Now the guys that run the tour were the fucking best. Like I love those guys. They were the fucking. It was awesome. It was so fun hanging out with them, and I really miss hanging out with them. I had a great time in England. It's just the crowds at these shows wanted to see a very specific kind of thing.
Dude, I did.
I don't respect at all. By the way, if you want to hear someone, it's comedy. It's a conversation. I don't want to hear someone hit beats. So I want to hear a guy.
So they get
like the one kid. Like the Gary Owens of there kind of kid
right.
who comes up and you can't understand a word he says. And this is all of England, by the
way.
So
he was talking like Jamaican type of patois type of shit?
Yeah, and they all win an award from the state. This is how the UK is. Like every fucking first-year comic has a socialist award from the state for best comedy.
What?
Because they jabbered in fucking whatever the patois of that room was. You've been there. You've been there before.
I go to England about twice a year.
That's their introduction?
How many? Like
That's the first I'm hearing about the state-owned award. But.
Well, I'm just saying that to be a dick. But
maybe these are just real. Kurt, I mean, it sounds like you're on a show with all national award winners. I mean, maybe you're just outclassed. Maybe you're outclassed, Kurt.
Hey,
I mean, every comedian there had an award from the country of England,
dude,
and you're this
guy,
you know, upstart American coming in
awardless.
There.
Awardless.
Yeah. No, here's the star of the
show.
They're
like, he doesn't have any awards. We're not laughing at this fucking guy.
If I had only been a world champion.
You got to talk to me next time, Kurt.
You're not familiar with this? These like first year comics in England that have like a fucking.
I've never heard of that.
No. I mean, a lot of them have. They
like
might have an award from a
award.
Festival.
Yeah, Perrier.
Yeah, but the Perrier Award is called something else now. That was from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Alex won that.
Alex Edelman. Alex Edelman, I think, won
Best Newcomer at the
Fringe Festival.
Yep. So what does that tell you about these awards there?
Well, dude, in general, let me just say this about awards in general.
Right.
Whether, I don't care what it is, whether it's movies, whatever, they're almost always full of shit.
Of course.
You know, almost always.
I don't watch the
Grammys. I mean, does the best person in the music ever usually
Macklemore,
win the fucking
Macklemore won
Grammy?
Fair and Square.
It's fucking no.
And Macklemore is the best. I don't understand the problem.
Yeah, people want to see if Kurt was in Ireland and went up in front of a whole bunch of local Irish farmers.
Yeah.
They would have hated him and not paid attention to. If it had nothing to do
they
with
would have buried him in that farm.
Hey, you know what? You could be very well right. I didn't say that fucking white crowds are better. I said these crowds I went to were fucking
no,
dumb.
You shit on the Wisconsin white crowds too.
Listen, just because they also suck is not mitigating the fact.
It sounds like a lot of crowds don't like you, Kurt. That's what it's starting
you
to
know,
sound.
It is. It is like that. That's a fair enough assessment, okay. I would say. I'm like a niche market. Can I say it?
You're for the market who people who don't know how to pronounce word. Niche.
I'm like a small batch local brewery.
You're a Kraftworks comedian.
I'm the. I just make small batches of me.
That white lightning.
I'm like a pumpkin stout of a. A seasonal strawberry ale of a comedian.
That sounds nasty.
The guy who's like they loved was this dude. Maybe you know him. He's this black dude dresses up like a chick. He wears like a blonde wig.
What room are you playing in? This is happening?
No, I've never heard of that.
You know, all right, well,
what's his name?
Let me familiarize because just from when I started,
I think I know who you're talking about.
You
actually.
Know exactly what I'm talking about. When I started out in
Dennis
Philly,
Rodman.
When I started out in Philly, in the same thing at the fucking Laugh House, the people that they fucking loved. were fucking hacks. They loved hack bullshit.
Yeah.
That's a
every club
fact.
Had that. The Stress Factory had Julian
McCullough.
Every club
still has. Every
the Stress Factory had Julian McCullough. Okay, I get it. Everybody has a local hack.
You know what?
Fucking hack.
Julian is about 1,000 times better. First of all, I say Julian's a good comic.
He's great.
I know. We were kidding, dude.
He's about a million times better.
See, Kurt, you're not even connecting with us at this point. You're just completely delusional.
No, this is what I'll tell you, dude.
He's off the rails.
The bullshit the crowd
we
enjoyed.
Love Julian.
The bullshit the crowd enjoyed in this fucking room. There's no getting around it. It fucking sucked. And it wasn't their intrinsic blackness that made them suck. It was basically they were 20 years behind in fucking anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the shit they enjoyed, it was the equivalent of, the blue collar fucking...
Cruise ships.
It was it was like the black version of cruise ship comedy. Yeah. Do you understand? Yep. So, but it still sucks.
It still makes you angry. I get
Kurt, we've understood the whole time you brought this up. we understand.
You don't have to defend yourself.
I don't have to defend myself at all. And also, this is for the people listening. I'm aware that Judah is a kind of a dick. I wasn't.
We just had a dick off.
So I'll tell you what's funny though. A long time ago, like, I can't remember. This is like years ago. But I remember Judah was breaking my balls at the fucking, the Bag It In. We had to Bag It In. Do you remember
downstairs
this?
From the Boston? And, no, I don't remember this particular night, but tell me.
I remember because it was so funny because I was like, my feelings were really getting hurt.
Are they really? Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It just made my whole day.
Wait till he announces what it was before you apologize.
Let me finish the story, woman.
Wow.
But Judah wasn't out of line. He was just breaking my balls. But my feelings were getting like, my open mic feelings were really hurt. And then I confronted Judah. I'm like, dude, you have a problem with me? Like, why do you keep? He goes, no, man, I'm just fucking around with you. Like, and then he ended up driving me home.
You
to fucking Queens.
I don't remember any of this.
What?
Yeah, then Judah like drove me all the way home from. Like,
you told him my feelings are hurt.
In so many words, I made it like.
I feel like I never say that to anybody.
Well, I didn't.
I think
say
this
it.
Was just an emotional dream.
You was
had,
raised
Kurt.
Better.
I made it.
Kurt, I would never give you a fucking ride.
No, he did. And then I felt extra embarrassed because he gently caressed.
I think
me.
I thought you were someone else. I would never give you a ride, Kurt.
Judah thought I was Russell Peters. I better get on this Russell Peters train now.
He was wearing some brightening cream on his face.
Oh, man.
So, Esther, let me ask you this. Because haven't you gotten in a lot of shit from, like, angry kind of, like, Asian groups because of your...
Really?
Your disparagement humor?
Yeah, for the longest time, I thought I was going to get assassinated by some angry Asian guy. Because there's this website called angryasianman.com that actually wrote about me.
Really? Well, you know what you're getting with that site.
And
what is their whole break with you?
They were like, Esther Koo is a sellout gook whore. Like, she...
Wow!
Yeah, because I shit
still
on Asian
sexy
guys.
Still sexy.
I shit on Asian guys. And I said that they're not going to exist because Asian girls are going out with white guys and black guys.
Oh, that's
you know?
The...
Okay.
That's had
and I'm
to
like,
fucking just...
Well, you know they like what they like. Shit.
Yes.
Well, if you think white guys get pissy about fucking black men with hot white girls...
You're right.
Imagine the feelings of Asian dudes watching both black and white guys fuck.
The only reason I date who I date is to make other people angry.
Dude, that should be the title of your book. That should be the title of your book. That's fucking great. I love that.
Yeah.
I think there'd be more success. That's
alone,
the key
though.
To the future of this country.
I mean, I'm telling
date
you.
Someone who's going to make someone else angry.
As you should.
Hold the hand.
That's like the sweetest plum of the whole thing is watching someone get upset by your fucking...
Yes.
I mean, it's like the juiciest fucking...
I stayed in relationships.
Well, like the Jewish community is hemorrhaging hot chicks and just losing them by the dozen to goys. Yeah. It's like, because Jewish men... Because Jewish men are gross. And there are some hotties, but they don't want me. So...
And you're
so
full Jewish. You're full Jewish.
I'm extremely Jewish.
Well,
yeah,
not according to two podcasts ago.
Oh.
But
I had
were you raised
some black
Orthodox?
People tell me, No, but I'm Israeli, so and both sides of my family, like
we
all the way
Jew
back,
off.
Are really Jewish.
A couple episodes ago, we had a Jew off.
Who was the Jew off with?
It was with a bunch of black people. They were so mean to me. They were so goddamn mean.
Weren't
to me.
Weren't they from your Facebook wall?
Yeah, the Ron Long who plays in the band downtown.
I love how Facebook is now becoming everyone's source for fucking hating everybody. Yes. It's like all these friendships that have been there for years, and all of a sudden people realize, oh wow, I don't fucking like this person. It's like, well, that's what you get for friending all these people who are never your fucking friends anyway.
That you met once in an elevator.
So
yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
True. But yeah, the Israelites came in here and took away Karen's Judaism. Yeah.
But the thing is, I think with all that stuff, like shit you were getting and stuff you were getting, it's like, unfortunately, I think most people's default go-to emotions are fear and hate.
Right. Sure.
They go to those two before love, to before like... Right.
And
then also most people look at things in just complete extremes. Mm-hmm. Like they never realize, oh, there's... things are a little more complicated than that. They're more nuanced than that. It's not just, black versus white or whatever. Right. It's like there's all kinds of fucking reasons for lots of things.
But you know what?
There are often some big, huge, major ones, but there's also other shit going on.
But yeah, I can even respect that because, like, the world is kind of an extreme place. Everything's scary. Things are not in your control. So, of course, your go-to emotions are going to be fear and anger. That's, like, a natural reaction to a scary world. But where I stop respecting that is when you start telling me what I can or can't do.
Oh, I know.
Shit I can't stand. You can be as rageful and fearful as you want.
You fear what you can't understand.
Let me ask you, do you guys wish that the interview was coming out to the theaters?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I was happy it didn't come out. I don't know that's a racial thing. Fuck James Franco in that stupid movie.
Right, right.
Thank you, North Korea.
Yes.
Even but, a broken clock is right two times a day.
I didn't want to see it until they said we're not releasing it. I want to see it now.
Yeah. I think most people didn't want to see it.
Right.
I don't think it was going to be a huge hit.
It's
but
like
the point is,
you didn't want, and then
it
someone
shouldn't
told you
be fucking yanked from the theaters. That's ridiculous.
You know why Sony yanked it? Because the movie theaters wasn't going to show it.
Right. And that's because at the movie theaters, none of them show just one movie anymore.
Right.
And then so it's like that's going to fuck up someone else's business.
They ain't going to go see Annie going to get no ticket sales because niggas scared to go to that movie theater because the interview's right next door.
Well, that's true. But Sony fucked up. Because of the free speech thing, because they could have just been like, well, we're releasing it and it's on the movie theaters if they're not going to show it. And they would have been in the right.
Yeah, no one has fucking, everyone just.
Everybody's got to remember that Sony.
First of all, let's bring up a more important question. Because you called it Black Annie. Should they have released the movie as Black Annie?
I say so.
Or just Annie? To warn the racists out there who may not have seen the poster or the trailer beforehand.
Black Annie.
Give them a heads up.
You can't say Black Annie, but you can say Urban Annie.
Urban Annie,
I can say Annie.
I always let's talk about that.
Annie from the Bronx.
No, but how comedy clubs, when they'll have a black themed show and they'll call it Urban. I always just thought that was kind of...
Because that's
it's like there, all kinds of people live in urban areas. You know, it's like
because
it's
that's
not is it wrong to call it a black show? I mean, I don't think so. Is it?
But you have to understand white pussies. And this is like
that's just PC shit, right? Calling it urban.
It is, and that's why it sucks because they can't. They're so uncomfortable just mentioning black, like just saying.
Oh, I know.
The first show that
I know.
The first show that I performed on in the city was called Nigger Night, and it was it was a good night.
How did Kurt do on that show? He didn't do that well, right? Yeah.
The Jamaicans in the back hated him.
No, I prefer Nigger Night.
He'll kill on Nigger Night.
Absolutely love.
Kurt's a nigga in his head. Yeah. He's a nigga has nothing to do with race. It's just this a defeatist. Fucking, I'm going to fight the machine.
Attitude.
Yes.
But that's, like, see, black crowds I do quite well in. The problem I have in, like, predominantly, and also I have Caribbean kind of fans individually.
Oh, I agree.
Appeal to, I would never, because one, they love Jesus too goddamn much, and they love Jesus in that fucking, like, Amway kind of way.
Who are you talking about, Jamaicans?
Whatever. Any of that, there's whatever my blasphemy kind of thing is, they don't go for that.
Right. I don't think any of the comics here have your typical fan base. You know what I mean?
True.
I don't fit into any. Like every once in a while, someone will want to book me into like some hipster alternative room, and I'm like, some of them will show up, but that's not my fucking crowd. You know what I mean?
And that's
I get
mistake.
A lot of wrestling fans. Right. I get black fans. Right. I get all kinds of people. You know, it's like I don't. I don't get, there's a lot of comics. I'd say most comics, appeal to one, small kind of demographic, most of them, demographic,
right.
And a lot of those are the more financially successful ones.
Of course.
The people just, it's like group thinking. They're like, we go to this.
But that's how it
talk about
that
how
way.
People go to comedy shows,
immigrant comedy.
Right. But it's like, like comedy. I want everybody coming to my fucking shows.
Yeah. That's why we're going to be broke.
Yeah.
Dude, that's exactly it. And the way it got that way was, because remember when I was a kid in the 80s getting into stand-up, I used to watch all those
Watching, you mean?
When I was like 12 watching stand-up on TV.
Right.
If you remember, it used to be like a grab bag kind of mix of different races and there'd be a prop guy.
It was almost more integrated is what you're saying.
It was more integrated. And then what happened was when Def Jam came out, and they made so much money off that.
Yeah.
Not that Def Jam, because when Def Jam first came out, it was pretty funny.
That was great.
Towards the end.
Towards the end, it got
like all things. That's the way most shows are. Yeah.
But the first like few,
it was huge. It was like a movement.
It was huge. Really fucking funny.
Yeah.
And then you know it just gradually like around when Comic View started to come up, that's when it like just degenerated into just hacky shit to me.
Right.
But they made so much money off that. That's where all these little branching, like splitting up the comedy.
I'm not into that.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand why it exists. I understand wanting to see.
And some of it is what Sherrod said too, where so many, comedy clubs, they're so geared towards that. You know, it's like I hate when I go on the road and the main way comedy clubs on the road help promote the shows is by doing morning radio.
Right.
So I get the list ahead of time or when I'm there, and it's an oldie station. It's a country station.
Right.
And no sports station. Meanwhile, in my act, I talk a lot about how I'm the greatest athlete. It's like, you should put me on a fucking sports show.
Right.
And then zero black stations.
I can't remember what town I was in, but I requested,
I'm like, get me on a fucking black station, you know? Because first of all, black people listen to them, and a lot of fucking white people listen to them, too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, why are you just putting me on the fucking old fart station and the country music station?
Did you ever do...
I want everybody on my fucking show.
Well, do you
know? And then I went to one, and the two hosts, a black guy and a black lady, they actually thanked me. Because they're like, I heard you requested to be on our show. And I'm like, yeah, I want to fucking mix it up. What is this shit?
It's
unbelievable. Yeah. So that kind of racism, whether people realize they're doing it or not, it's that segregation shit. It's all over the fucking place.
Because you live in New York where you naturally mix. We were talking about this last week.
It's New York is integrated and it's segregated.
And it's the most segregated.
Because Manhattan, you see everybody during the day.
The school system is the most segregated in the country, right?
I think the rich white people who live in Manhattan should be, and half of Brooklyn should be fucking ashamed of themselves approaching public schools. You know, it's they're a big part of the fucking problem.
Actually, you know what? I think Karen said this to me. Maybe you told me this, but like public schools are only good if rich people's kids have to go to them.
Not necessarily, because a lot of the rich people in Manhattan don't give a fuck about their kids. They don't raise their kids.
Right.
You know, a Jamaican nanny who hated your comedy show. She raises.
That's why she ain't got no time to laugh at Kirk's. Yeah.
Well, that's by the way,
raising your cousins.
When I make fun of Jamaicans, let me just say something.
These Jamaican ladies are raising white kids who are going to hate your act too, Kurt.
Let me tell you, just to say something nice.
Your career's over, Kurt. Do you see that formula? Model?
Let me be positive too with regard, because I was just trashing his crowd, not Jamaican. Here's something very positive about Jamaican, especially those women. You can give them any small object and they will raise it to adulthood for you. It could be a sandwich. You're like, I don't have time. Can you get that sandwich? Is going to go to college.
That sandwich went to Yale.
Yeah, that's good. And they share their weed, so that's another good thing about them. But
they don't smoke weed.
I'm just telling you, the UK at a con.
Black old women don't smoke weed, stupid.
No, I'm telling you, they're very generous. When I was there outside, the crowd that was into my jokes was also smoking me up. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anybody who's too into their cultural shit, like it's the greatest thing in the world, that's all I want to hear about, I don't care for.
Oh, if that's all you want to hear about, I can't tolerate.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's the cultural preservation thing that has to come at like the expense of other shit that's good. That's what's bad.
Yeah, you need a mix. You need a balance. Because cultural preservation is important, but not at the expense of fucking everything else.
You just got to meet me halfway.
Right. Well, they're paranoid that like if we let some outsider in, that like they don't trust them. You know, so many Asians, they only stick with themselves. You know, they're so clicky. And it's like, how can you not think there might be good people outside of your race?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's why I have sex with all these people.
That's what I want to get back to. Hold on. Why are you not attracted to Asian men, Esther? That's what I wanted to get
back
to.
Are you not?
I'm not attracted to Asian men because they oppressed me growing up in this church. It was a patriarchal system
It's like an institutional mental thing.
Yeah, they brainwash you. They force you to have babies and... you know, cook and clean and everything. So it's like mentally, I wouldn't want to have sex with somebody who represents, you know, the figure who was oppressing me my whole entire childhood.
Right.
Yeah. And it's almost not a race thing. It's almost like a psychological thing for me. Like,
right. That's what's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but because in her school, she keeps telling me there's all these girls that are like 23 and they feel like worthless because they're not married with a kid.
Well, these girls are like 24 or so, and they're like
they're from Korea.
Yeah, devastated that they, you know, like they're they have real anxiety that they're not married yet, that they're going to get old. Like, if you reach 30 that's and you're not married, thing. You're done.
And little do they know that, like, Asian girls, like, people are always jealous of Asian girls that, like,
you, I tell them all
we
the
look
time.
So young all the time. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea because that's what they're being told by their culture.
So these girls have no idea. Also, and where are they? They got low self-esteem. And where exactly are they right now?
But it's like...
Where's the school at?
But there's also this, like, fear that they have of sex and that kind of thing. Like, or if they, maybe they are or aren't, but I think that's, like, also the culture that you're supposed to act really demure and, like, I don't do that. So if I'm like, no, just stay here, or, like, white guys will love you, they're scared of that, too. Like, it's a, they have a lot of fear on
or
them
if they,
with men and sex.
Yeah. Right.
Well, on the male end, dude, everybody's got this paranoia about the other race's dick is going to out-dick my dick.
Right.
I mean, I think that's right. Half of that shit is like...
Well, with the men, I can see why men... But what is... What do, I guess women would be...
No, dude, because Korea, I mean, scientifically... Korea has the smallest dicks in the world. Like, when they do a fucking average...
You could have just said, why did you laugh when you said scientifically? You
because it makes me laugh.
Kurt did research with
headphones. You know what that means? That means Korean girls have the smallest pussies in the world.
Well,
let's test that
Oh,
theory.
You think, like, it's a... So is that what it is? Like, evolution...
Let's displace
it's
the volume.
It's evolution, like, responding to the size of the pussy. The dicks will grow or shrink.
Well, they need a small wiener to
that's why
slip through all that bush.
When I have Korean friends who want to date outside of the Korean race, I recommend starting with Jews because
we all recommend starting
smaller.
With Jews.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
well,
know.
Dude, there's a on Netflix some
Asian
guy,
dick 2.0.
Did you see that guy's documentary? Some guy has a documentary on Netflix because some girl broke up with him and then told him it's because his dick was too small. So he goes on this whole thing about like penis
but see,
enlargement.
I like guys with small dicks.
Well, he goes, to,
I'm with you,
right?
Yeah.
My fucking
it's easier. I don't want to have to
oh
do exercises
God.
To stretch my shit out so I can fuck
hurts.
You. It does hurt.
It all hurts right. And you can't have as much sex.
Like, I agree.
When I go out
finally.
With a guy with a small dick, I fuck like
it's refreshing.
5 times a day. When I go out with a guy with a big dick, it's like twice a week.
You got to work yourself
I'm
up
I'm gonna jerk
that.
Up to that whole story.
Yeah, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, but I'm thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
Well,
now we realize why my girlfriend hates me ultimately.
and you know, like those popsicles that are like those two ones that you break.
Yeah.
Like a big dick is like those popsicles that are like fat and like you can't like grasp it really, you
right.
know. But the twin popsicles where they break, it's like,
oh,
all
right,
yeah. Now I could manage this.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it ain't about you managing.
There's
it. It's
like
about
other
us managing
secondary
you.
Problems too. There's like jaw pain, and it's a whole host of things.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Girls, I just want to say I have a really small dick. In case either of you want to not cheat on your,
and
I'm a half Jew, so it's you know,
you,
it's
and then
it's,
you
it's
go out with
small,
a guy with yeah. a big dick, and then your dentist complains. You know, your teeth are getting buckier. You know,
my childhood dentist commented on the smallness of my mouth while I was having my teeth cleaned. And
did he really?
Yeah. He was like, well, you've just got an unusually small mouth, don't you?
Dentists are, are perverts.
That was a weird...
I think you have to be a pervert to be a dentist.
Was the dentist you work for... I mean, can you say or not?
Was he
pervert or no?
No, but I just always... He wasn't a pervert, but I just always thought, like... You know, to want to go into, like, why would you want to study dentistry?
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, yeah. like,
because well, they didn't get into med school.
It's very lucrative, and my mother will be happy.
I had a hot gynecologist once. Have you ever had that?
No,
that's
what a nightmare.
See, that's inappropriate.
I would never want a hot
well,
gynecologist.
Actually, no. He
did he work out of a van?
He wasn't that hot. My sister thought he was hot.
Was she
and
right?
was like, no, she was. I mean, he was like corny looking. You know, she,
right,
like,
right.
she likes more like clean cut guys, right. you yeah. know, and I like slobs. And so she's like, oh, this gynecologist is really hot. You should go to him. And I went, and I'm just like, now he saw both of our pussies. Like, that's, you know,
oh,
what a
wow.
bonus for him.
That's why I wouldn't hook up with someone my sister hooked up with.
Right?
The same reason.
You don't
why
do
should
that.
He see both pussies?
Just
yes.
let me fucking hook up
I mean,
with
because, like, I'm sure our pussies look the same.
I mean, get, yeah, get over it. Every pussy looks the same, pretty much.
Not really.
I beg to differ.
And the speed that I'm working at it.
They look different.
Mine is super organized. I have, like, file
all
folders.
All a blur.
They're labeled and shit.
I think
mine
we
too.
Should.
I've got mine filed away nicely.
Sherrod, I knew you had the power. I didn't know you had such velocity there. That's impressive.
It's just right. a blur.
Just blurry vaginas.
Coast to coast.
I kind of want to just make this whole show these two talking about their pussies.
Like, I feel probably, I feel very relaxed now.
It's the best show.
It's a poor man's vacation.
Oh.
Well, Kaylin's here.
Kaylin, you're just
in
time.
The house. Yes. Just made it.
All right, Caitlin's here. Caitlin, we're talking about small pussies.
Well, we started out talking about small penises.
Yeah.
And then that's what it evolved to.
Yeah, this will work probably.
Perfect.
Caitlin, why?
What? Caitlin, like, what?
Can Caitlin have a chair?
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
Okay. Bingo. I didn't even see the mic there.
But, so that's, but that's why you're not into Korea. So, why, Karen, why are you not into Jewish men?
Well, you know, there was a point at which, like, when I went to high school, I it was public school, but there were a lot of Jewish people because it was a nice neighborhood. And when I was at NYU, it was super Jewy. Yeah. And I went to like, summer camp with all of these cute Jews. So I was, at a certain point, into Jewish, like, specific Jewish boys, but they never,
cute
ever wanted
Jews,
me.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Kind of, but I didn't know any better. So I was a child, so I had a thing, and nobody liked me ever, so I kind of got over that. And then when I came here to the city, and at NYU, there was such a weird economy of Jewish dick. Like, it was the people, like, it was, first
that,
of all,
they
was
just what
on,
does
the,
that mean?
It was on the menu is, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, what it means is that they're the Jewish girls at NYU were spectacularly beautiful, like the prettiest girls I've ever seen in person. And the guys, as hot as they were, that's how gross the guys were. And they all ended up together. And that put me
so
off
hot
so
girls
much.
And ugly guys.
And nevishy gross guys. And to top
like
it off, the cherry on top of the sundae was that none of them wanted me. They had the nerve to not want
the
me.
The audacity!
So,
and why do you think that is?
Fuck that shit. There's like a whole scene of it too. Like, I'm not religious. I'm really
right, well,
not.
That's
there's
probably, a lot
yeah,
of
a lot of
Jewish
Orthodox
people
stuff,
want
and,
someone who's religiously mm-hmm. Jewish, you know.
Like, and
like,
I'm just not.
Like, my dad's Jewish. He's from Brooklyn. My mom's Croatian American from a Croatian neighborhood. Like, it's like heavy, heavy Catholic in Pittsburgh. So it's like, you know, when I'm in, you know, so sometimes, not often, but once in a while, a Jewish girl will flirt with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I just learned this by doing it. And then when she would find out that my mom's not Jewish,
right,
she would give me. She would do
the
a complete
shoulder.
Turn,
mm-hmm.
give me the nastiest fucking look,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, and act like I just fucking robbed her house. Or
if your
something.
Mom's not Jewish, yeah. you're not Jewish.
Right, I know. Right, and
see.
Then and
right.
I remember telling my dad that he's like, "Fuck that, you
yeah,
know, you're
that.
You're
that's
half your
I
blood's
too.
Jewish, you're Jewish." So,
but I'm
and then,
I'm fully Jewish.
To,
I really resented right. that kind of rejection, yeah. and I went through a phase of like, "Well, I'll try this religion thing out and like doing the prayers and try," and it wasn't for me. I fucking hated that. And then to me, it was like good riddance. And the truth is that the Jewish guys that I meet here mostly are Eastern European Jews, which is not a hot look. And if you go to Israel and they're Middle Eastern, that's totally different. There are
right,
such
right,
hot
right,
dudes
right,
over
right,
there
right,
and they're
right,
just
right,
not
right.
here. So.
Now, the
right.
Eastern Europeans, they too breadliney? Is that the reason?
They look too much like Kurt.
But it's like, but that's, yeah, because I.
Well, I say I look Jewish, but then a lot of Jewish people I'll be like, and I'm like, do I look Jewish? And like, no. So like, so
you don't
like,
look Jewish. I don't
people,
think you look
and they
Jewish.
Say it in
but
a snobby
not,
way.
Yeah, they do say it in a snobby way. But
yeah.
people not around Jews a lot will think I'm Jewish.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
But
right.
actual Jews.
People
like,
think
no.
I'm Jewish on paper until they see my last name.
Yeah. Well, Esther.
Oh, Esther, yeah.
Oh, the Esther. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It could be Esther Jew.
But yeah, it's like it's just
Jew.
Weird how people
oh,
find
go,
so many ways to hate for like whatever reason. You know.
But there's
it's
also like a thing, like Esther said, kind of growing up, it was really drilled into me that it was. It's unacceptable to even date outside of the religion, and I would be dead.
That's
know,
how
I
you
had,
were raised.
Yeah, oh, and I resent yeah. that. I do, and like you know, I love my parents and respect them, but I really resent having that
I
put on
that
me.
Look.
Yeah,
like
I
my
was, like,
uterus
the opposite.
Is spoken
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
I'll date whoever
yeah.
the fuck
I
want.
Yeah, like
Cameron.
My mom's side and the dad's yeah. side of the family, they like never talked or anything. So there was it was like complete like. So I kind of feel like I'm neither. I feel like I'm both, and I feel like
right.
I'm neither. And then depending on where I'm at or whom.
So your uncles and
yeah, Judy Gold actually asked me. She asked me, "Do you lean more towards Jewish or or?" And I go, I lean more towards my mom's side, I think. But every once in a while, when I'm in New York, there's a lot of Jewish people, sometimes a little bit that way. But then I realize, no, I'm not a fucking part of that either. So I feel like I'm just
and
a part
Judy
of nothing.
And Judy looked you right in your face and said,
you
make
hybrid.
My dick hurt.
Yeah.
Isn't that the best thing to be, is not 100% something, so you don't have to be beholden to some bullshit?
Yeah.
Like,
you don't have
yeah,
to
I mean,
be beholden
know. I mean,
anyway.
Well,
you get to
yeah,
choose
yeah.
to not do
yeah.
that.
Well,
yeah, but it's easier, I think, if you're not fighting like a united front. Like if your parents
right.
are of different
right.
religions, it's difficult for both of them to be on the same.
But that's why they wanted me to be with a Jewish guy, because they figured if I had kids, there should be a united front, and the
sure.
kids have got to know that this is what we do. And I like
the Borg.
Well, listen, when I first like started dating Karen, because she used to, before you kind of like snapped at it, remember you were like, I'm going to have to marry a Jew eventually.
For the record, when we met, I was 21 and I was still in school.
So
I'm not saying
this
bad, but you remember
and
at
she
the,
was
at the point
and I was always wasted.
At the point of at the point of when your parents, like, we were like, we're going to stay together, and your parents were not into it.
Yeah.
Remember, you were going to have Sherrod, bring Sherrod and say, I met a Jew. He's Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great plan. Like, I met an Ethiopian Jew.
That's a great plan.
Yeah.
Because I remember that cold look her father gave
remember
me.
Remember my dad? Yeah. My dad met Sherrod for like a second, and he was
like... And I was bringing her from Manetta Lane from the alley, too. I was bringing her like 2 a.m. His father was like,
well, we'd been just doing drugs in an alley together, so he wasn't wrong. But
a cloud of smoke around his little girl and nigga hands all over her. Nigga hands all over her.
Oh, man.
You damn
great.
Dirty ape.
It was great breaking Karen's father's heart on Manetta Lane.
Yeah.
Well, this Sherrod's the like, person who, you're the friend that introduced me to doing drugs in an alley, so.
Yes. You're welcome.
He wasn't really wrong about
you're
you,
welcome.
But.
Buddy Bolton did it for me, and I did it for you. Pay it forward.
Where is Buddy Bolton been?
So drugs is really helping race relations.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's
the great,
bringing white and black
historically,
together.
It's always been the social glue to bring us together.
I mean, and cocaine is what really glues really separate fucking, you're going to like a cocaine party, like hipster kids, and then one Dominican in pajamas and cowboy boots. And then one fucking, like, one old guy in a hockey jersey.
Well,
like, you guys would never hang out. That's how you know there's coke, because it's like, there's no way you guys would be
hilarious.
Together. Outside of this.
Like
fucking...
Battle of the Network Stars. That's
well, it's like when you can...
Why is Gary Coleman it's like, and Alf hanging out?
It's like when you can spot undercover cops. It's like, it's like, why are these guys... they're all 40, and there's a Asian guy, a black guy, and three white guys, and it's 3 a.m, and they're all just walking around together. Gee, I wonder what the fuck's going on there. How did I know they were cops? You know?
That's my dude. We used to talk about it, Judah. Man. Like every '80s movie, the gang. They always had a multiracial gang.
Oh yeah, yeah. It started with the Warriors. Yeah. There were no such thing as like black gangs and white gangs. It was multicultural gangs.
All...
Yeah. And they never addressed it. Addressed like black white stuff.
It's like
look at the movie Breaking. There's hardly any racial stuff going on there. And like a Dominican guy and a black guy.
I kind of like that about '80s shit. Was
I know
they put that out instead
of like in Goonies, the Asian guy. He's not the one who like plays the piano to unlock the door.
Who
you know the white girl like plays the piano and she fucks up all the keys.
If that was made today, he'd be playing the piano.
Yeah, exactly. Like we'd be more like okay with like letting that happen.
I'd be more comfortable with recasting him as a white guy that plays piano. Did you ever see 21? The fucking you know those
no that was
thing.
But that was based all on real life Asian students
right, they were all Asian
who
they were all Chinese
right and then they made them all white or something right
they made
the white
one,
man
yeah,
white
they made
man with
all,
his lies
yeah well that's Hollywood you know Hollywood yeah, is not, so fucking
should I start that, should I start a protest for that movie when did it come out
but it's not the white man with his lies it's Hollywood
yeah yeah
is
yeah
Jews yeah. And that
I don't
is,
even know how many Jews run Hollywood anymore
it's not that the guys that are giving the money for the movie okay which you can see we were talking about this last week
yeah
if you see you gotta see Seduced have you seen Seduced and Abandoned with Alec Baldwin?
No, I haven't seen that yet. Yeah, no, I haven't seen. I heard that's good. That was the HBO documentary about trying to get a movie made. Right?
Yeah, and I love watching it because it they shows them going to all the money men. A lot of them are Israeli guys who are like, I don't care, I just want the money. And like the guy saying that flat out.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you've seen.
But Hollywood's so fucking behind the times, and I think one of the big problems with Hollywood is that there are two things: being out of touch and arrogance. And elitism.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood, the people who run Hollywood, they think they're smarter than everyone.
Yeah.
And they think they're smarter than all the talent. They think they're smarter than all the comics, the actors, the writers. And they definitely think they're a hell of a lot smarter than everyone in America who's not in show business.
Oh, for sure.
And they look at the Midwest as... And the South is probably the dumbest fucking people.
Right,
or anyone who's not in an urban city, like the dumbest fucking people.
And they're
people.
Making movies for people they think are dumb.
And they, at the same time... They think they're in touch with all of America, and they know what America wants and needs and likes.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm a comic. I go to every fucking city every fucking week doing shows, and I meet the people on the shows.
Right.
I fucking know what people like, and they're up in their fucking mansions. They're in their fancy offices. They're so fucking out of touch.
Disconnect.
Of course.
So, and at the same time, they actually think they're very racially progressive.
Yeah. Well,
and then you go to a Hollywood party. It's fucking 99% white people.
Right.
There's one or two black guys.
That's me.
Yep.
Maybe one Asian person, and like a half a Latino guy. You know, they're even less.
But you know what Neil Brennan was on, and there's a thing he told me before that he brought on the show. Like, Hollywood does not value, like all those movies like Tyler Perry, that whatever people make fun of, Hollywood does not value black dollars. They don't value that. That's exactly the words he put it in.
What does he does he mean by
because
sure
when
that
they're
means.
At a party,
the prestige
if you,
of like,
yes, if you made your money, like if you're rich at that rich guy party and your money came from
they don't consider
right.
Kevin Hart.
Oh, right.
That shit.
Of course. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. That's just fucking racist bullshit. Yeah. That's just racist bullshit.
So if you don't like these Tyler Perry movies, the reason they exist is because these guys don't want to make a thing that like black people spend money on.
Right. And you know what?
They're not. I don't want that. I want my name to be on like a Woody Allen thing.
No, they're racist. They're also classist. You know, if there's, you can believe like, I mean,
fuck children.
We were busting on the blue collar guys earlier. You can be sure Hollywood doesn't like the fucking blue collar guys. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like because that's a classist thing.
Yes,
you know, and so they're racist. They're classist. They're sexist.
Ageist.
It's just ageist. You know, it's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, but that brings us back to why things are called urban. That's what that is.
Right.
Like they're fucking, they are racist. Like, I don't even want to acknowledge.
Yeah.
It's not that they just don't want to be seen
as
racist.
Many people, everyone's like afraid of offending. And at the same time, a lot of people are so into like, By being PC, it's like this self-congratulatory thing.
There you go. That's,
Because not only am I not offending anyone, I'm showing you how great I am. I remember one time I'm trying to I'm supposed to meet somebody, and then someone's telling me – this is like pre-cell phones. They're telling me like – I'm like, well, what does a person look like? And they tell me everything except that the guy's black.
Right.
Why don't you fucking tell me that? Yeah. I'm trying to – come on. It's a fucking big crowd. I'm trying to fucking meet somebody. And then another time, I'm supposed to meet some guy. And,
let's just say he likes chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be like, well, his eyes are brown. Yeah, I'm like,
make it weird.
What else is
first
brown?
First of all, I never even noticed anyone's fucking eyes.
He can dunk.
Right. You're like just going up and looking straight. Yeah.
And another time, someone's describing me and telling me all about this tech person for like a video thing. Tell me all about him. Oh, yeah, does this? Oh, it's so good. And we're talking about 20 minutes. Never once fucking mentioned that he's got a fucking lobster arm. You know, he's
Judah,
you know, it's like a lobster hand. I'm like, how do you not fucking mention that?
Dude. I used to work at a supermarket, and this guy.
It's not wrong to mention that.
It's not that you're not bigoted.
It's almost just
you want. You're worried about not appearing bigoted,
right?
And then that's like, what's the shortest route to? So that's the what I despise about that PC shit.
Yeah.
It's just the dishonesty of not like I just won't acknowledge they're black, and that's the same as fucking like.
No, I've seen it in Hollywood. I've seen it at festivals, and sometimes it works in black people's favor because sometimes you know at a festival. I remember I was at this one festival. There were like, I think it was like five films they narrowed it down to. All were white except one was black.
Right.
And the black film was, I might be wrong here, but I think if you show this movie to 1,000 people, whether they're black, white, or whatever, yeah. I think
it sucked.
It was not a good movie.
There you go.
And people
God
were
damn
like, it was
out.
So fucking amateurishly made.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh. Just the simplicity of it. It's just so raw.
It's like, no, that's the boom.
And
no,
like,
that's
no.
the boom.
I'm like,
the
no,
shot.
This is a fucking shitty. And they're like,
the boom,
and then people go, can you believe it's their first film? I'm like, yeah, it looks like a horrible first film. And then this fucking white movie, and I mean, it was fucking amazing, this thing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
But, and they're like too afraid to criticize.
And then, so I'm like right in the middle of the liberal, PC like height of it with that the film festival judges. I was just like, wow. I was like the only one that voted for the white movie. And it was all white judges.
But you know what? That also goes for complimentary stuff. Like, I see a lot of girls who get shit on a lot for saying something like, I'm more attracted to black men than white men, which is a perfectly acceptable preference
and
a fine way to say it.
Different.
And then there's a lot of people, well, that's racist. How could it possibly be racist to just have an attraction preference?
Right. I mean, if everyone was only attracted to their own race, there would be no fucking interracial shit. I mean, everyone's wired differently.
I wanted to ask Esther about this too because I'm glad you reminded me of that. Because I'll tell you where that comes from. That's where people talk about fetishizing someone's fucking culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like an Asian activist thing of like, we're not exotic. We're not, you know what I mean? Like guys that are into Asian women.
Right.
There's a real backlash. You know what I'm talking about, Esther?
I've been on Asian girls. And sometimes white people will shit on me like there's something fucking wrong with me. Like I'm a pedophile or something.
Well, first of all,
it's fucking ridiculous.
I say there's nothing nothing wrong with fetishizing. Like, when, you know, when people go, I am not exotic. Well, yeah, the person writing this in San Francisco is probably not exotic because you can't throw a rock without hitting an Asian girlfriend in San Francisco. but guess what? Right now at this table, Esther is exotic. She's the only. That's what exotic means. There's not, like, in Washington
Heights.
I
never get mad if somebody says I'm exotic. Well, I'm like, well, thank you. Usually people are like, shut up. Your laugh is annoying.
But also,
I'll take exotic any day.
I remember one time you and your sister were both at the Cellar, and you both have the same laugh.
Oh,
and it was
really?
Like fucking awesome. Yeah. Because sometimes, every once in a while, like, I've heard people say, oh, Esther, she's putting on that laugh. I'm like, no, I've seen her with her sister. They have the exact same fucking laugh. That's their fucking laugh.
Just have a laugh.
It's genetic.
That's how you laugh.
My entire family laughs like this.
Yeah,
like,
I believe
you. Know, like, the guys are the bass. They're like, oh.
I remember seeing you and your... I remember seeing
like
you and your...
This rapid fire, and we get it from my mom. My mom laughs like this, and my dad... Right. My dad never laughs.
Wow.
And like so one time he laughs and he's like, and it's like seems so fake, you know? Like, yeah, we were all hilarious. Like, look, my brother was like, our dad just laughed.
That's so funny. No, but I remember one time
he
seeing you
at
a funeral.
Was he laughing at the.
He was just trying to fit in, I think, after like giving up after 20 years, you know? Like, let me just laugh. And
at one point, he
laughing at the Ferguson shooting?
No, at one point he like moved out of the house and like moved into a storage unit. He like put a couch and a piano in a storage unit. I was like, I had to get the
most
fuck
Asian
out of this
thing I've ever heard of.
Wait, your dad moved into a storage
right?
unit?
Yeah, he did.
That's hilarious.
And what was?
Couch
I want to hear
and
more.
Piano.
What?
It reminded him how he got here.
Well, because like my parents had five. My parents had five kids, so I'm sure we kind of like drove them crazy, and he just wanted to like get the fuck out. And
how many of your brothers
or sisters?
He couldn't afford
to get his own apartment, so he just got a storage unit.
That's awesome.
You know,
awesome. I've always thought about doing that in New York.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How many of your siblings stayed religious? Are any of you guys?
Good question.
None of us. No.
Everybody backlashed?
And none of us go out with Asians because we were supposed to have
there
an arranged marriage.
My sister and I are the
with
same.
With a Korean guy. Yeah. So my brother James, he goes out with a black girl from Target named Kanisha. And my
black girl from
sister,
Target?
Well, she used to work at Target. That's where they met, I think.
I thought he got her
and,
at Target.
he wanted a discount on TVs.
No, she's black. She is a Target.
No, and my sister, she has a Mexican boyfriend named Jorge. And
does it make
you know,
your parents
all,
die inside a little bit?
You know what? Like, they had a hard time accepting like Kanisha at first, but then yeah. They like her, you know.
See,
so.
The black girl had the hardest time in the family.
Exactly.
Mexicans can come run all through there.
That's well, the thing about parents. No, they can be overcome. Like, you can win them over.
Yeah.
If they just the hard
I don't
part,
care about winning them
but,
over, you
well,
know? Like,
I, no,
who cares
I,
what
I
they
do
think?
Get, well, but like true. He and I have been together
they
for 7 years.
My
at a certain point, like, their resistance was meeting him. It was because I think that on some level they knew that if they met Kurt, they might just fucking like him, and they couldn't have that. You know?
Well, your vagina is the property of Israel, and if there's a war, you'll be expected to fuck him.
They'll be putting the troops on your Gaza Strip.
Yeah, God. That's literally what it is. Yeah. Like, well, he might not send his children to go die in a fucking the final battle. That's what that Jew thing is.
It's a battle for my
won't.
Gaza landing strip.
You won't.
Okay, I want to. There's this story on. Do you read Salon, Judah?
I don't
Why
subscribe
just
to it, but it's I've read articles from Salon, but it's not something I go
them
to
on,
read.
I follow them on Twitter. They always have like these like help Salon, like my son's girlfriend hit on me. What do I do?
Fuck
ask
her.
Salon.
Okay,
fuck that
weird.
Girl.
Yeah.
Well, because
so why? What do they got? Yeah.
Okay, so because Salon, you know, they're the ones that would always be in a war with Patton Oswalt because. Do you remember when this was the most hilarious thing ever? When that I don't know if, what plane was missing or what happened.
The Malaysian plane.
But was that the one where the news agency reported the pilot's names were Wong Wei, and
that joke got out and people believed it. That was
someone
the real.
Wrote,
oh right, that was.
Do you remember that? It was like
some kind of a prank. It was some
it was
kind
the
of
most
a,
that's
they,
fucking hilarious.
These idiots at the news thing.
It was
didn't
like
notice.
Some Ting Wong.
It was like
some Ting Wong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically.
And then people got offended by it on behalf. I'm like, you don't know anybody on that flight.
Just
like, why are you
people?
Offended?
Well, the joke is funny because it's a joke on the news people that work that they're too stupid
to realize it's a joke.
They're like, they should have been like, is this guy? But that again is the liberal phone. Tony shit, they probably saw the name Sum Ting Wong and went,
and co-captain and they can't went, fly high.
Yeah, and they're like, and they go, and then I'm sure the dipshit liberal that looked at it went, okay, that seems like something, but that might be their names, and I don't want to make fun of their real name, like, because they're that idiotic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just to be safe, they put the names up anyway. I mean, if I had to guess, so Patton Oswalt made a funny joke that they apologized and said, me so sorry or something.
Right.
Making fun of the news station.
Right.
So Salon then jumps on this, and then that's not satire, because he's throwing Asians under the bus. You've heard that shit before.
Well, under the plane.
Under the plane. So then his whole fight, like battling Patton Oswalt, who did nothing wrong, because that's what they do. At
yeah, he's pretty PC anyways.
Yeah.
Well, they eat their own. That's what these people do. They
eat their
own. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but this girl, Brittany Cooper, who, by the way, someone on Twitter, Sherrod, and I don't know the girl's name, but I want to have her call in. She accuses me of being a chubby shamer. Because remember we were talking about somebody's fat girl writing?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who we were talking about.
Was it the girls? The girl who writes the girls on HBO? Someone
like some scene from Girls, and I said maybe something Lena is fat girl writing, which was like a throwaway comment. She goes, I think Kurt Metzger's a chubby shamer, which I don't even know what that means. But I'm going to have her call in.
I bet.
I have no idea what that
word
means.
Word it out, Kurt. I think you can figure out what that means.
Yeah. You know what that means.
What does that mean? Explain to me what it means.
You know
that,
how that,
she means you shame
wife?
People who are chubby. Chubby shamer.
Or maybe maybe he should feel shame when he gets a chubby.
Let me be.
Oh, maybe that's what she
meant. Well, let me be more. What I'm saying is, okay, I know that's what a chubby.
Thinking us.
I don't understand how what I said relates to chubby shaming. And by the way, I don't get what the problem with shame is. I don't know why this quest to end shame. Some people should have shame.
Yes, I agree.
So especially this chick. So this girl, Brittany Cooper, who I love reading her shit, because she's a fat chick that's like, all her shit is like the black experience. But what if you read her shit, it's really just her experience.
Her experience, right.
Which she then makes into the black experience.
Well, what I find so weird about like articles now is that, I mean, there's many more voices now because of the internet.
Right.
But also, and I even saw an article about it. I think it was on one of these comedy websites telling comedians ways they can make money. That since New York is the media capital of the country.
Who wrote it? Dan Ninen?
We should play a clip of him just for fucking.
No, you should just move on. Just move on.
Yeah. Are you on his email list?
Just move on. But anyways, it was talking about how, you know, comics can, you know, most of these online magazines and newspapers pay $50 in articles. That's a way you can make money. Mm-hmm. So there's so many articles out there that are just completely fucking unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it's just like, and they get a big platform, you know, mm-hmm. and they're not. Yeah, it's like you said, it's
like
one person complaining, acting like it's for fucking everyone.
I don't like it when people out how much you make, right? You know, like, don't announce that we only get paid $50 to write something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, that should happen more and more.
Or like when people
though.
Are like, "Oh, you only get
$50
for that."
There's websites that tell
spot.
You how much everyone fucking makes.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
They pay shaming. It's pay shaming.
It's pay shaming.
Pay shaming. Salary shaming.
Stop shaming me. Well, me and Karen were talking about this last night. Like the ideas behind, like, okay, don't make a fat person feel bad because they're fat. That's a good idea. I understand.
Yeah.
But then what they do is take it a step further, where they're like, "No, we're all beautiful." Well, no, you're not all. But what it is it's okay to not be beautiful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're not
right.
less
than right.
beautiful. Right. We don't have to go, we're all goddesses.
Yeah.
You're not.
And also, everyone has different tastes. There are some people who
right.
like
right.
fat people.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
some people who don't like in shape people.
Right.
There's
right.
there's porno magazines that are dedicated
Everything.
Just to women that are 400, mm-hmm. 500 pounds.
People who are
and
too
I'm
cheap to
some
buy a pillow.
Some people fucking like that.
Biggins.
Right. They like
Good
fat people.
Spot.
Did you hear
that? That was hilarious.
What did you say?
People who are too cheap to buy a pillow. Some people like fat people.
But you know what? I'm not like I don't want to. I'm like not victim blaming people if you can't afford hangers.
I'm not victim blaming, but sometimes people are sensitive, and some of the blame of feeling shame lies on the people who feel it because sometimes that was not someone's intention.
Right.
So there's
right.
also a shitload of sensitivity that could yeah. be dialed down.
Yeah,
you know,
and also yeah. you're allowed to fucking feel bad. You know, not
yeah.
not
right.
not everything is supposed to. Can make you feel great.
You, did
you can
not.
Be
I
disappointed.
Think
you know, yeah. I've been to plenty of movies that I fucking hated. I'm not suing Hollywood, you
but
know, for
I,
my
I'm
fucking money back.
Of,
I'll be like, that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
But I'm on the side
Get
of not
it.
Making
Jesus.
People feel like shit for things that they can't control. I'm completely.
Yeah.
That's like
I'm
a no-brainer.
I like making people feel good, period. That's what I like to
right.
fucking do. You know, I don't like to make anyone feel like shit. You
well,
know?
The front row. Fuck the front row.
You do not. Listen, you do not control my narrative, guys.
When I
And you do not tell me my experience. ignorance is wrong. That's what this shit is, by the way. So I'm going to tell you, hold on, let me tell you what this
girl's saying. But that's true, but it feels defensive. It's coming from this deeply insecure place, you know, so somebody who feels bad about their body, you can shame them. Somebody who's comfortable in their own skin, it really doesn't matter what other people say.
When I sit next to a fat person on an airplane, I say, shame on you. Should have bought two seats. Your fat roll is hanging off of my armrest.
Oh, man.
Tuck that muffin top in.
I had this guy get next to me.
That was fat molestation. That's what that was.
I had a guy in a plane come sit. He came in. I was sitting. I sit down on the inside. This guy, and it looked for a second like I had a whole row to myself.
Yeah.
Then the guy came in to sit next to me, and he was like one of these dudes that's just fat on the bottom, and his top.
His bottom heavy?
His top, yeah.
A pear shaped man.
Yeah. His top was carry on. The bottom should have been shut. Bottom should have been shut. This cocksucker, I don't know how he slipped
that's
past.
Beautiful.
So he comes in. He comes in and says bye. I couldn't even put the armrest down over his. Like his fucking leg fat. So just as, and this is why I kind of believe in Jesus a little bit, because I was like, oh Jesus, this can't be happening. As I'm putting it down, another guy comes up angrily at me. He goes, excuse me, I think you're in my seat, sir. And I go, oh, I'm really sorry, man. I got out.
It wasn't in your seat.
And he got in the fucking fat ass seat. And I was in the exit row. This guy could have had my exit row.
Brilliant.
But he wanted to be pissy about me. And his,
good for him.
That ain't nothing but the Lord.
That ain't nothing but the Lord right there. That's God.
So look, I want to tell you. So this chick, I want to tell you the title of her article. Because I love reading her. It's great.
Brittany
Cooper.
Because this idea of like your narrative is your narrative and no one can that's bullshit. No one should rely on, like, if you tell me a thing
everyone
happened to
everyone can have their own fucking narrative.
You can have your narrative.
She can have her narrative, but you can have yours too.
But many times just
we can also just stop saying narrative.
Well, first and foremost,
I love narrative. I love it.
I fucking hate that shit.
My
because what
word.
It does is it makes it seem like your subjective experiences are objective facts, which it's not.
No.
And that's why you need other people's perspective to come in and go, well, maybe this wasn't what, like, for example, a lot of shit from the black rooms that me and Jay would take for like, they don't like me because I'm white. A lot of situations that I'm like, this because I'm white. And Keith Robinson, we would talk to him and be like, well, that's not because you're white, it's because of this. And I go, you know what, Keith, you're right. It wasn't because I was white. So my narrative was wrong, and another person had some more perspective.
Right.
And guess what? Your narrative should be fucked with by outside people
all the time.
Because it's not reliable. You're not a reliable narrative.
Well, you're going back to what you exactly said, where when someone writes an article and everything they say is all-knowing and the complete truth, and there's no argument, no discussion. It's like, there should always be discussion.
Yes,
you want to hear everyone's opinion, and it's not necessarily right or wrong, and it could be a mix.
If you want to be an ally, you should just shut up and listen.
Here's where I disagree with you. I think you're absolutely right in that everyone's perspective should be challenged and that nobody's good, objective, you know, narrator of their own life. But I think that if you believe a thing about yourself to be true, if you as a fat person think of yourself as beautiful and sexually desirable.
Yeah.
No,
whoa,
I'm talking
is
about
that what happened?
Yes. She called him beautiful. Calm
He's
down.
Gorgeous.
But like,
I don't think that you should allow other people saying like you're disgusting or whatever to impact that. I mean, like, holding on to your core sense of self in the face of other people believing denigrating things about you,
right.
I think, is a characteristic of an adult who is comfortable with himself.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
I think we're on the same team, but that's where I want
to. What I'm talking about relates
to
this thing.
Sure.
I'm going to fucking. Okay. So, like, or remember we had the Duke, we're talking about the Duke porn star.
Yeah.
And her stupid, like, she was offended that people thought she was a little girl, didn't know what she was getting into. She absolutely was a little girl, didn't know what she was getting into.
Oh, yeah.
That's why she wrote an article shocked at what she got into.
Yeah.
But this, I'm going to read you this. This is what I'm talking about with the narrative bullshit. So here's the title. I'm going to read her title. In quotes, listen when I talk to you. : How white entitlement marred my trip to a Ferguson teach-in. Okay, then underneath.
Preach.
Then
preach,
underneath, underneath, a nightmarish train ride reminds me why too many white people don't get how short Black America's fuse is right now. Now, when you read that title,
and
I'm
that's
like,
about the bag?
I wonder, yeah. I, wait, hold on. I wonder what nightmare this poor woman was subjected to by white entitlement. They must have told her to get out of her seat and give it to a white person. You know? Something terrible must have happened.
No.
So then you read the story. Okay, here's what I'll summarize the story for you.
this woman's black. This woman,
yeah,
yeah.
And she's heavy.
She was on it. Yeah. Well, from the picture, you can see she's heavy. So,
okay, so she's heavy and she's black.
Let me read just the first paragraph.
I just want to know who's writing. Okay.
On Friday, I was on the train to New York to do a teach-in on Ferguson at NYU. Beats headphones on, lost in thought, peering out the window. I suddenly saw a white hand shoving my work carry-on towards me. Startled, I looked up to see the hand belonged to a white guy. What'd you think it was going to belong to?
I saw a white hand. It was an Asian man.
I thought Michael Jackson was came back to life.
Who was haphazardly handling my open bag with my laptop perched just inside to make space for himself on the seat next to me.
Yeah, move your bag.
Get your
bitch.
Shit off the then fucking
wanted,
seat.
Yeah, he wanted the seat on the now... That he wanted the seat on the now full train was not the problem. That he assumed the prerogative to place his hand on my bag, grab it, and shove it at me while my computer was unsecured and infuriated. I said, never put your hands on my property. His reply, you should listen when I speak to you. That line there, the command that when he, whoever he was, spoke, I should automatically listen, encapsulates the breadth of the battle against racism we have to fight in this country. Yeah. So she had headphones on.
Yeah,
he said, could you move your shit?
She couldn't hear
this
him.
Selfish bitch had her headphones on. Her shit shouldn't even been in a full... You've been on the train before.
You know who's at fault
when
here?
When you notice that it's full, it's time to start consolidating.
You know who's at fault here? Who? Dr. Dre. Those headphones are so good. They are such good headphones.
Can't hear anything when you got them on.
The noise cancellation is so good. Dr. Dre should use this article as an advertisement to buy his noise canceling headphones.
Yeah. So my favorite line is like, that situation to her encapsulates the breadth of the battle against racism. Some people just got shot by cops.
That's a good line, though.
This chick's bag got
that
moved.
That goes back to that entitlement
thing. By the way, I
got to
say that the New York City subway is one of the most integrated, racially heterogeneous places ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not a race thing. It's a get your shit out of here thing.
I know. Mm-hmm. You're going to have interracial sex against your will on that train.
Oh, yes.
How close it is.
I'm down there rubbing on people on that 6 train with his back.
So look,
you can come in here.
But anybody, and if you read, by the way, if you read the comments, it's funny with a lot of salon articles. If you read the comments, a lot of times the people read and don't go along with this shit. And they're like, come on.
It's like, move your bag.
Okay, so then when people don't go along with it, somebody else goes, don't tell her what her experience was. Yeah. Well, bitch, you're wrong. I mean, you thought it was one thing, and you're not right. And so someone's telling you now. Now a man's gonna tell you. but see, this horse shit. Let me tell you what this comes from. That's that critical.
I mean, she would be right if she's sitting there,
right,
and the guy walks. She has no headphones on.
Right.
She's sitting there. A white guy walks in and just moves your bag and says, "Move your fucking bag and listen when a man talks to you."
Yep.
Then she'd be right.
Absolutely.
But the evidence shows that. That's likely, but maybe did not happen.
And the fact that there was no room in her mind to have empathy for the other person's experience.
Well, what's
it like, it, right. That's
about his
so
narrative.
Wait, hold on. He's white. Black people have had to do that for too long. From now on, it's just what she wants.
No, it's a shame because, you know, the issue she brings up is an important issue, what you're saying. But it sounds like that scenario is incorrect. But that is an important issue because there are racist things that go on all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
sexist things that go on all the time.
So
that's not the fucking example of it. And that happens in the news all the time.
Right.
It's just like,
and the hyperbole.
You know, whenever, you know, something bad happens in the news, you know.
I'm surprised that article is entitled, How My Bag Got Sat in the Back of the Bus.
Well, I started calling her Rosa Pork. hold on, let me see if there's any more.
Yeah, it was just
that's offensive.
Just move your bag.
But see, that's where that all this like
bitch,
critical.
Move your bag.
You know what critical race theory is, Caitlin. You know what critical race theory is.
What is it?
Well, Caitlin, you explain it. You probably explain it better.
Yeah, I have to look it up. And
what
like,
it is
read.
Not a theory.
I mean, is this the idea that race is a construction? Is that what that? Like it's been a minute since I've been deep into my sociology textbook.
It's not sociology. It was designed by people in law school.
Okay.
But really what it is for people that are like black racists to shield themselves from any kind of criticism. That's
I'm familiar with this. It's the idea that only the race or gender in power can be prejudiced.
That's one of the
not prejudiced, I'm sorry, but racist.
Right. Right,
whereas
right.
Any
that's
feelings,
one of the definitions of racism.
Right. Any feelings in the opposite direction, like black people having negative feelings about white people isn't racism, it's prejudice.
Right, right.
Because
racism,
you need the power structure
like
in order for
racism.
That. Yes.
Yeah, I understand
that. Makes
but
sense.
Racism exists in every community against every kind of person.
Right.
You can't just assign racism to one kind of thing and not the same thing coming from somebody else.
The way that in-group psychology works,
but this country
the way that team
does
psychology
have
works.
A massive, horrible history of institutionalized racism.
Yeah, but nobody's denying that. It just doesn't
that
preclude.
Stuff still has repercussions.
It doesn't preclude
everywhere.
Minorities from also being sometimes racist.
Oh, no, I agree
Everybody
with that.
Everybody can
when,
be racist.
When a slave takes the whip from a master who's whipping him and start hitting him back, that's not reverse racism.
Look, we all
right.
No, we love
I actually
Jenga.
Have a. I do have a.
That's even in a school.
I do have one joke about reverse racism. I'm still like working it out.
Well, that's a dumb term. I say that,
yeah, but it's like, because, you know, a lot of, you know, most black people say it doesn't exist. Many white people say, yeah, it exists. But
it doesn't
I was walking on the Upper West Side, rich white neighborhood. And there's a little public park, and they have a basketball court.
Right.
And the basketball hoops are at 7 feet high.
Yeah. White
That's
kids.
Reverse racism. That is legitimately reverse racism. No, that's institutionalized the public park reverse racism.
Okay, but my problem is saying reverse racism.
And that's also PC shit. Oh, I want my kid to be able to dunk because those guys are dunking. They want to feel like stars. It's like, no, fucking get a real hoop and learn how to fucking play, you piece of shit.
Let me just finish what I wanted to say before. I don't support the term reverse racism because it's dumb. It's just racism. Reverse racism is like almost segregating racism.
But I think some of it's a semantic. People are saying when you say racist, it's, you know, that means the institutionalized racism that's been in place for so long.
Right.
So
the system.
Right. I feel like when you know when you have like an individual interaction between people and one of them
saying call it bigotry, which means the same thing, but it doesn't have that implication of institutionalized racism.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's a fair point. I think that you like when you're dealing with two individuals interacting with each other, the way that team psychology works, like that's gonna impact both of those people. But like one of those people is working from a position of power. And they're confident that when they enter into the system, that there's going to be this world of beliefs on their team.
Fucking legit problems.
You can call it institutionalized racism, fine. That's not what these people say. What they say is racism itself can only be from white people. Okay,
but I think
white people are the best at it.
It's Kurt, you're saying
white people
issue.
Are the best at hating things and people.
They're just better
though?
Than you guys.
The best
I
at
disagree.
It. You're really good at it.
No, but I think you're saying the same thing in different words, Kurt.
Well, that's fine, but the
we
reason
do that all
but
the time.
The reason the semantics count, it is semantics.
Yeah.
But that's why I won't say fucking white privilege, even though I agree with the disparities.
Well, the white privilege is interesting because I agree with what people are saying about it. But my question is, when people say, you know, white privilege is bad, so on a human rights level, what are you saying how people should be treated? Should all people be treated well or should all people be treated badly?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It should be just
that's
human rights.
The Ayn Rand argument.
Human rights. Everybody should be treated well. Yeah.
Exact point that I made. Yeah. It's not privileges. Your rights are rights. They're not privileges.
Right, right.
These fucking lefties all on the extreme end.
Right.
I think I'm just like a regular liberal, okay? But I'm not liberal enough for some of the people that call in that are like Seattle kind of extreme. And because that's a religion to them, like they look at academic studies as their Bible.
Well, see, a lot of people are just – a lot of that I think comes from people – who've studied a lot, they've read a lot, but they haven't lived a lot.
Right.
Exactly.
The
majority of these bloggers are in their early 20s, late teens.
You know, it's like, you know, when you do, I did a show at an alternative room earlier this week. It was a cabin, and I do this one joke. It's about racism and stuff. Uh-huh. And every other place, you know, at a regular comic club, it works. In front of an all black crowd, it works.
Yeah.
With these people, they're like, really, really.
Because they got on fucking kid mittens.
Right, right. They have all these fucking sensors. They have all these sensors going off, wondering, like, am I supposed to? Like, how are people going to think of me if I. It's like, dude, opinion. They don't have a point of view or an opinion.
Karen made this up, and she's great for it. The thing about how you hate people who decide to laugh.
Oh, yeah. The assigning of laughter to certain
things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's
don't
what
think
they do.
About it. Just laugh if it's funny. Yeah. And, you know, the same problem I have, the problem I have with white privilege and like semantically is the same problem I have with like words like cultural appropriation or identity politics. Because all that means is culture and politics. It's culture is always appropriating stuff. There's no pure culture.
Well, another
and
thing,
politics is always a matter of identity. So to call it out on that makes it a thing that it's not.
Also,
the white man's the devil. I've
also
been saying it.
Yeah. Another thing is that with all these things, what a lot of these people do is they come up with these rules.
Oh, yeah. We gotta wrap it up.
And the rules are there's no bending at all. It's like, if you do this, you are evil. And like I said before, things are much more nuanced than that.
And it's people who don't want you to inform their narrative that are telling you what the hell's going on with you.
I do want to make one point about like what you were saying about nuance. Was like, I think what happens when you, because I used to work in political campaigns, and so what we do is we take nuanced, academic, complex policy ideas. You know, you get a 200-page policy that you want to get through, and you reduce it down to a series of three fundraising talking points and bumper stickers. And I feel like whenever you have a movement or whenever you're trying to rally a large group of people behind an idea, oversimplification is part of that. Like, you can't get people on board.
But often when you oversimplify things,
yes,
you actually create untruths.
Of course.
You know?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know what? On that note.
Yeah, we got to go.
Thanks, guys. Fuck Whitey. And Judah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome back soon.
Good shit, guys.
That flew by, man.
That went by fast. That was
awesome.
And a half.
That was great.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Race was. God bless you. Good night.
Bye-bye.